Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, love. What? Hi, everybody. Good morning. And today is, what is today? Oh, my goodness. It's early. It's Tuesday, February 25th, 2020. And it is time for the daily. What is the daily, you say? The daily is a little nudge of encouragement, a little word from the Bible, a little further understanding, a little metaphysical encouragement to help you through your day. Absolutely. Every morning, I used to get up at, well, when I had a job, when I was a claims adjuster, I'd have to be to work at 6. I'd get up every day at 3 o'clock without fail to pray. And to meditate, well, at the time, I called it prayer. Today, I call it meditation because it is such a different thing. And so the daily is about sharing some words from the Bible, kind of giving clarification, because words in the Bible aren't meant to have their literal meaning in some cases. And when we take it for its literal meaning, we get confused, we get scared, we think God is a fearful kind of God, that we should be afraid of him instead of being afraid to live our lives in a way that agrees with the laws of the universe. That's basically what we're talking about, is to understand your place in your life and aligning yourself with the laws of the universe, which will naturally align you with our creator, our marvelous, wonderful universe that has nothing but your good in mind. Nothing but your good in mind. So we try to understand those laws and adjust our thinking to go with those laws. So when I first started to wonder about God, and I'm a Catholic born and raised, 12 years of private school, so I've always had a and the youngest of 11, so I was kind of always nurtured and babied and made to understand how important God was. And luckily, I've been able to take it through my life, because Lord knows there have been many times in my life where I have needed God, right? Everybody. And so when I started to study the books and say, what is the best book to start with to get a fuller understanding of what I should know for life, I went right to the books of wisdom, the wisdom books. There are a collection of books in the Bible that are the wisdom books, and they begin with the book of Sirach, S-I-R-A-C-H. So the wisdom of Sirach says that we must praise wisdom, praise of wisdom. All wisdom comes from the Lord, and with him it remains forever. The sand of the seashore, the drops of rain, the days of eternity, who can number these? Heaven's height, earth's depth, the depths of the abyss, who can explore these? Before all things else, wisdom was created, and prudent understanding from eternity. To whom has wisdom's root been revealed? Who knows her subsidies? There is but one, wise and truly awe-inspiring, seated upon his throne. It is the Lord. He created her, has seen her and taken note of her. He has poured her forth upon all his works, upon every living thing according to his bounty. He has lavished her upon his friends. Fear of the Lord is glory and splendor, gladness, and a festive crown. So, fear of the Lord. First of all, the word Lord is synonymous with the word law. So, when you think about and you read in the Bible and you see the word Lord, fear of the Lord, that means you should fear the law. And the most profound law that works in your life, as when Moses said, what? Who should I tell them who your name? Who should I tell them you are? And what did God say? I am. I am who I am. So every time you use the word I am, you are calling on God. So when you say I am healthy, God, give me health. That's just exactly what that means. And so the daily is about understanding the simpleness of the Bible, but then intermingling it with some new thought. And my most favorite new thought author is Neville Goddard. From a long time ago, very famous, goes along with Joseph Murphy. But what people like Joseph Murphy and Neville Goddard did for people like me who love God and know there's something out there, maybe it's not this thing they've been trying to convince us it is, but there's something out there. And people like Neville, and which we're going to listen to a little bit today and tomorrow, Neville and Joseph Murphy, they help us to understand how we are related to God and how God is related to us. So let's continue. So fear of the Lord is just fear in the law. There are universal laws. You don't fear gravity, right? You know if you slip, you're going to fall. That's one of them. That's a law that we don't fear it, but we're aware of it. He who fears the Lord will have a happy end. Even on the day of his death, he will be blessed. The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord law, which is formed with the faithful in the womb. Okay, so wisdom is fear of the law, which you were given in your womb. The closest we've ever been with God is right before we came out. This devoted man was she created from old and with their children. Her benefits abide. Fullness of wisdom is fear of the Lord law. She inebriates men with her fruits. Her entire house she fills with choice foods, her granaries with her harvest, wisdom's garland, fear of the Lord law, with blossoms of peace and perfect health. Knowledge and a full understanding she showers down and heightens the glory of those who possess her. The root of wisdom is fear of the Lord law. Her branches are length of day. One cannot justify unjust anger. Anger plunges a man to his downfall. A patient man needs stand firm, but for a time. And then contentment comes back to him. For a while, he holds back his words. Then the lips of many heralded his wisdom. Among wisdom's treasures is a paragon of prudence. But fear of the Lord law is an abomination to the sinner. If you desire wisdom, keep the commandments, and the Lord will bestow her upon you. For fear of the Lord law is wisdom and culture. Loyal humility is his delight. Be not faithless to the fear of the law, Lord, nor approach it with duplicity of heart. That's a lot right there. Don't approach it with duplicity of heart. You can't want to be rich but think poor. Fear of the law. Don't approach it from both ends. Play not the hypocrite before men. Over your lips keep watch. Exalt not yourself, lest you fall and bring upon you dishonor. For then the Lord will reveal your secrets and publicly cast you down. because you approach the fear of the Lord alone with your heart full of guile. So what's that saying? We are given wisdom at birth, and the most ultimate wisdom we are given is to understand that we should fear not the Lord, because that's what every religion teaches, right? To fear God. You better not do this because God's going to get you, and all the goodness you'll ever find, you have to die to get it. Well, that's not exactly true. It's not true at all. Wisdom we're born with, God gives us freely, and it's up to us to understand as we grow older what that really means. And so in an effort to give more understanding, we are going to listen to the likes of Neville Goddard and At Your Command. Because the best thing you can do for yourself is really two things. When you wake up first thing in the morning, confess your oneness with God and his riches and his bounty and everything that God can do. If we were a tree and they planted your ass outside, God and ass don't go together. If you were a tree and you were planted outside, you would be able to grow as long, as big as any tree you've ever seen. But we have free choice. So he just didn't put a program in us. He gave us a mind that we have free choice to use and to learn and to do. And so we're going to listen to Neville, At Your Command. And every day, start to think about your life in this way and who you are and what that means. Because you have power that no one can give you but you. And wisdom is your power. Fear of the law. Fear of the law means I don't know it. I don't know it. And so what I don't know, I'm suffering from not knowing. So let's listen to a little Neville and see how Neville helps us through the daily.
This audio presentation of Neville Goddard, At Your Command, is brought to you by AudioEnlightenment.com. Copyright 2011, all rights reserved. This book contains the very essence of the principle of expression. Had I cared to, I could have expanded it into a book of several hundred pages, but such expansion would have defeated the purpose of this book. Commands to be effective must be short and to the point. The greatest command ever recorded is found in the few simple words, "And God said, let there be light." In keeping with this principle, I now give you the reader, in these few pages, the truth, as it was revealed to me. Neville. At your command. Can man decree a thing and have it come to pass? Most decidedly he can. Man has always decreed that which has appeared in his world, and is today decreeing that which is appearing in his world, and shall continue to do so as long as man is conscious of being man. Not one thing has ever appeared in man's world, but what man decreed that it should. This you may deny, but try as you will, you cannot disprove it, for this decreeing is based upon a changeless principle. You do not command things to appear by your words or loud affirmations. Such vain repetition is more often than not confirmation of the opposite. Decreeing is ever done in consciousness. That is, every man is conscious of being that which he has decreed himself to be. The dumb man, without using words, is conscious of being dumb. Therefore, he is decreeing himself to be dumb. When the Bible is read in this light, you will find it to be the greatest scientific book ever written. Instead of looking upon the Bible as a historical record of an ancient civilization or the biography of an unusual life of Jesus, see it as a great psychological drama taking place in the consciousness of man. Claim it as your own, and you will suddenly transform your world from the barren deserts of Egypt to the promised land of Canaan. Everyone will agree with the statement that all things were made by God, and without him there is nothing made that is made. But what man does not agree upon is the identity of God. All the churches and priests of the world disagree as to the identity and true nature of God. The Bible proves beyond the shadow of doubt that Moses and the prophets were in 100% accord as to the identity and nature of God. And Jesus' life and teachings are in agreement with the findings of the prophets of old. Moses discovered God to be man's awareness of being when he declared these little understood words, "I am hath sent me unto you. David sang in the Psalms, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. Isaiah declared, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. The awareness of being as God is stated hundreds of times in the New Testament. To name but a few, I am the shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Whom do you say that I am? It is not stated, I, Jesus, am the door. I, Jesus, am the way. Nor is it said, Whom do you say that I am? Jesus am. It is clearly stated, I am the way. The awareness of being is the door through which the manifestation of life passes into the world of form. Consciousness is the resurrecting power, resurrecting that which man is conscious of being. Man is ever outpicturing that which he is conscious of being. This is the truth that makes man free, for man is always self-imprisoned or self-freed. If you, the reader, will give up all your former beliefs in God apart from yourself and claim God as your awareness of being, as Jesus and the prophets did, you will transform your world with the realization that I and my Father are one. This statement, I and my Father are one, but my Father is greater than I, seems very confusing. But if interpreted in the light of what we have just said concerning the identity of God, you will find it very revealing. Consciousness being God is as Father. The thing that you are conscious of being is the Son bearing witness to his Father. It is like the conceiver and its conceptions. The conceiver is ever greater than his conceptions, yet ever remains one with his conception. For instance, before you are conscious of being man, you are first conscious of being. Then you become conscious of being man, yet you remain as conceiver, greater than your conception man. Jesus discovered this glorious truth and declared himself to be one with God, not a God that man had fashioned, for he never recognized such a God. He said, If any man should ever come saying, Look here or look there, believe them not, for the kingdom of God is within you. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And they shall say to you, See here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. Heaven is within you, therefore when it is recorded that He went unto His Father, He was received up into heaven. It is telling you that He rose in consciousness to the point where He was just conscious of being, thus transcending the limitations of his present conception of himself, called Jesus. In the awareness of being, all things are possible. He said, You shall decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. This is his decreeing, raising in consciousness to the naturalness of being the thing desired. As he expressed it, And I, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto me. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up into consciousness to the naturalness of the thing desire, I will draw the manifestation of that desire unto me. For he states, No man comes unto me save the Father within me draws him. I and my Father are one. Therefore, consciousness is the Father that is drawing the manifestations of life unto you. You are at this very moment drawing into your world of that which you are now conscious of being. Now you can see what is meant by, you must be born again. If you are dissatisfied with your present expression in life, the only way to change it is to take your attention away from that which seems so real to you and rise in consciousness to that which you desire to be. You cannot serve two masters. Therefore, to take your attention from one state of consciousness and place it upon another is to die to one and live to the other. The question, Whom do you say that I am, is not addressed to a man called Peter, by one called Jesus. This is the eternal question addressed to oneself by one true being. In other words, Whom do you say that you are? For your conviction of yourself, your opinion of yourself, will determine your expression in life. He states, you believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, it is the me within you that is this God. Praying, then, is seen to be recognizing yourself to be that which you now desire, rather than its accepting form of petitioning a God that does not exist for that which you now desire. So can't you see why the millions of prayers are unanswered? Men pray to God that does not exist. For instance, to be conscious of being poor and to pray to God for riches is to be rewarded with that which you are conscious of being, which is poverty. Prayers to be successful must be claiming rather than begging. So if you would pray for riches, turn from your picture of poverty by denying the very evidence of your senses and assume the nature of being wealthy. We are told, when you pray, go within secret and shut the door, and that which your Father sees in secret, with that he will reward you openly. We have identified the Father to be the awareness of being. We have also identified the door to be the awareness of being. So shutting the door is shutting out that which I am now aware of being, and claiming myself to be that which I desire to be. The very moment of my claim is established to the point of conviction, the moment I begin to draw unto myself the evidence of my claim. Do not question the how of these things appearing, for no man knows that way. That is, no manifestation knows how the things desired will appear. Consciousness is the way or door through which things appear. He said, I am the way, not I, John Smith, am the way, but I am, the awareness of being, is the way through which the thing shall come. The signs always follow, they never proceed. Things have no reality other than in consciousness. Therefore, get the consciousness first, and the thing is compelled to appear. You are told, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all things shall be added unto you. Get first the consciousness of the things that you are seeking, and leave the things alone. This is what is meant by, ye shall decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. Apply this principle, and you will know that it is to prove me and see. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. The story of Mary is the story of every man. Mary was not a woman giving birth in some miraculous way to one called Jesus. Mary is the awareness of being that ever remains virgin, no matter how many desires it gives birth to. Right now, look upon yourself as its Virgin Mary, being impregnated by yourself through the medium of desire, becoming one with your desire to the point of embodying or giving birth to your desire. For instance, it is said of Mary, whom you now know to be yourself, that she know not a man, yet she conceived. That is, you, John Smith, have no reason to believe that which you now desire is possible, but having discovered your awareness of being to be God, you make this awareness your husband and conceive a man-child or manifestation of the Lord. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord God of the whole earth shall he be called. Your ideal or ambition is this conception. The first command to her, which is now to yourself, is go tell no man. That is, do not discuss your ambitions or desires with another, for the other will only echo your present fears. Secrecy is the first law to be observed in realizing your desire. The second, as we are told in the story of Mary, is to magnify the Lord. We have identified the Lord as your awareness of being. Therefore, to magnify the Lord is to revalue or expand one's present conception of oneself to the point where this revaluation becomes natural. When this naturalness is attained, you give birth by becoming that which you are one with in consciousness. The story of creation is given us in digest form in the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the world. Now this very second is the beginning spoken of. It is the beginning of an urge, a desire. The word is the desire swimming around in your consciousness, seeking embodiment. The urge of itself has no reality, for I am, or the awareness of being, is the only reality. Things live only as long as I am aware of being there. So to realize one's desire, the second line of this first verse of John must be applied. That is, and the Word was with God. The word or desire must be fixed or united with consciousness to give it reality. The awareness becomes aware of being the thing desired, thereby nailing itself upon the former conception and giving life unto its conception, or resurrecting that which is heretofore a dead or unfulfilled desire. Two shall agree as touching anything, and it shall be established on earth. This agreement is never made between two persons. It is between the awareness and the thing desired. You are now conscious of being, so you are actually saying to yourself without using words, I am. Now, if it is a state of health that you are desirous of attaining, before you have any evidence of health in your world, you begin to feel yourself to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And the very second the feeling, I am healthy, is attained, the two have agreed. That is, I am and health have agreed to be one. And this agreement ever results in the birth of a child, which is a thing agreed upon, in this case, health. And because I made the agreement, I expressed the thing agreed. So you can see why Moses stated, I am hath sent me. For what being other than I am could send you into expression? None, for I am the way. Besides me, there is no other. If you take the wings of the morning and fly into the othermost parts of the world, or if you take your bed in hell, you will still be aware of being. You are ever sent into expression by your awareness, and your expression is ever that which you are aware of being. Again, Moses stated, I am that I am. Now, here is something to always bear in mind. You cannot put new wine in old bottles or new patches upon old garments. That is, you cannot take with you into the new consciousness any part of the old man. All of your present beliefs, fears, and limitation are weights that bind you to your present level of consciousness. If you would transcend this level, you must leave behind all that is now your present self or conception of yourself. To do this, you take your attention away from all that is now your problem or limitation and dwell upon just being. That is, you say silently but feeling to yourself, I am. Do not condition this awareness as yet. Just declare yourself to be and continue to do so until you are lost in the feeling of just being, faceless and formless. When this expansion of consciousness is attained, then within this formless deep of yourself, give form to the new conception by feeling yourself to be that which you desire to be. You will find within this deep of yourself all things to be divinely possible. Everything in the world which you can conceive of being is to you, within this present formless awareness, a most natural attainment. The invitation given us in the scriptures is to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. The body being your former conception of yourself, and the Lord your awareness of being. This is what is meant when Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again, for except ye be born again, ye cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That is, except you leave behind your present conception of yourself and assume the nature of the new birth, you will continue to outpicture your present limitations. The only way to change your expression of life is to change your consciousness, for consciousness is the reality that eternally solidifies itself into things round about you. Man's world in every detail is his consciousness outpictured. You can no more change your environment or world by destroying things than you can your reflection by destroying the mirror. Your environment and all within it reflects that which you are in consciousness. As long as you continue to be that in consciousness, so long will you continue to outpicture it in your world. Knowing this, begin to revalue yourself. Man has placed too little value upon himself. In the book of Numbers, you will read, in that day there were giants in the land, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight as grasshoppers. This does not mean a time in the dim past when man had the stature of giants. Today is the day, the eternal now, when conditions round about you have attained the appearance of giants, such as unemployed, the armies of the enemy, your problems and all things that seem to threaten you. Those are the giants that make you feel yourself to be a grasshopper. But you are told, you were first in your own sight a grasshopper, and because of this, you were to the giants a grasshopper. In other words, you can only be to others what you are first to yourself. Therefore, to revalue yourself and begin to feel yourself to be a giant, a center of power, is to dwarf those former giants and make of them grasshoppers. All the inhabitants of the earth are as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among all the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand, nor say unto him, What dost thou? This being spoken of is not the orthodox God sitting in space, but the one and only God, the everlasting Father, your awareness of being. So awake to the power that you are, not as man, but as your true self, a faceless, formless awareness, and free yourself from your self-imposed prison. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. Awareness is the good shepherd. What I am, beware of being, is the sheep that follow me. So good a shepherd is your awareness that has never lost one of the sheep that you are aware of being. I am a voice calling in the wilderness of human confusion for such as I'm aware of being, and never shall there come a time when that which I am convinced that I am shall fail to find me. I am is an open door for all that I am to enter. Your awareness of being is Lord and Shepherd of your life. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is seen in his true light, now to be your consciousness. You could never be in want of proof or lack of evidence of that which you are aware of being. This being true, why not become aware of being great, God-loving, wealthy, healthy in all attributes that you admire? It is...
All right. So that's only 20 minutes, but oh my goodness, that's the best 20 minutes of any morning. What are you aware of being? And the best part that I had to learn this year, the grasshopper part, right? They saw you as grasshoppers, or you saw yourself, and so that's how they see you. And it's a rude awakening to understand that you see yourself as shit. So that's why you treat it like shit. I am. So what is your I am? He said, can you just stop and just see yourself as something totally different today? And your awareness creates your reality. What are you aware of? What are you aware of? Right? Out of sight, out of mind? It's more like out of mind, out of existence. So what are you aware of? He's spitting that Bible like Dylon spit, right? And it's to where I'm dyslexic in the morning, so I can barely read in the morning, even though I can read. But yes, Neville, he puts it to you and makes you feel so free. And I was listening to this before I got fired. So I'm almost absolutely convinced that I brought along my own firing because I wanted to feel so free. I wanted to be free. I wanted to, life to me was so limiting and there was nothing I could do about it. So I wanted to be free and didn't realize what that meant 10 years ago. That meant you're getting fired, boo-boo, and you're going to have to figure it out, and I'll never look back. Because, yeah, I was finding God, and I was understanding that God is not somewhere out there. God is planted deep within me, and I am God. I am is God. So whatever I say about me is what is created in my life. And it's just wonderful to live that way. So have a good day. This is The Daily. This is Yo Nigga. And I will talk to you a little later. I even got us some Jesus music to go away with. So that cross, the representation of that cross, that means Jesus being nailed to the cross, that's you being nailed to your I am, that you will not give up. And until you come back again, that you're nailed to that cross of I am. You are anyway, but change your I am. I am great. I am beautiful. I am sexy. Well, we already know that. I am the creator of my universe. Have a great day. This is The Daily. This is Your Nigga. I'll talk to you later.